So we continue our series on the Gospel of Luke. How to be those who love, trust, and follow Jesus. That is our understanding of what it is to be a disciple. How to be those who love, trust, and follow Jesus. And we have two passages today. One seems quite easy to understand. And then the second part of it seems a bit more difficult to understand, where Jesus seems maybe to set aside his family and says some odd things about hearing and seeing that don't necessarily seem to be connected to the previous bit. So we're going to do that bit later, and we're not going to brush it to one side though. And it's important, you know, as you read through the Bible, not to brush the bits to one side that you don't understand. I mean, not all the time, obviously, because you know you would never get through it. But to come back to those bits that make you think a bit more. Because as we understand those bits, it doesn't only develop our understanding, sometimes it reveals things that we're actually wrestling with ourselves as well, and it's really useful. So, anyway, a bit later for that. First of all, a bit about light. If we can have our first PowerPoint slide, that'd be great. Anyone who's gone camping will know that you need to put light in a good place if you've got a tent. Does anyone go camping? Anyone go camping? Yes. So if you're in a tent, you need to put your lights in a good place so that they spread the light over the tent. Same as if you're in a room, you know, but obviously someone's already thought of that normally when they made the house. And here are our camping lights. There they are. That's not our tent there. That's just a, these are all the manufacturer's images of what it should look like with these lovely lights up. There's the lights on the top left and this little strip that you hang up in the awning. So we'd spent ages agonizing over these lights. We looked at how many lumens they were, and we'd even considered whether we should have two different sets of lights that were slightly cheaper, that were shorter strip, so that we could shed the light in different places over the awning. We were on it. And, you know, off we went camping for our first experience with our new awning. And then I realised that I'd left the lights in a box in the garage. And, you know, they were absolutely no use. It didn't matter how many lumens the lights were in the box. It didn't matter if we had two sets or one. Absolutely no use at all. And you can see where I'm going, you know? We can do the same in our Christian lives. We can come to church. We can agonize over the meaning of Scripture. We can think about how to apply it to our lives. We can pray that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We can ask Jesus to fill us with his lumens on a Sunday morning. But, and this is the next point, Andrew, on the PowerPoint, you need to take the light with you. You need to let that light be able to shine in your everyday life. That's the most important thing, isn't it? That we have Jesus living in our hearts and that his Holy Spirit fills us so that the light can then be seen. That is evidence of our faith. And yes, it is important that we have faith that is personal to us. But the faith that is shown shows it to be faith as well. And Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed." This discipleship is evidence of our faith. When people see evidence of our faith in who we are and in what we do and in the way that we do it, then they see evidence of our discipleship. That is when we love Jesus, when he's in our hearts, when he's with us and people know that. When we trust Jesus, when he's in our lives and people can see that. And when we follow Jesus and do the things that he did, do the things that he calls us to do, then people see those things. And they are drawn to God, to his light, to his love, to his kingdom. All of this is for the glory of God, not for our glory or to bring attention to us. And what does the light do? Well, we read that the light reveals things. And Trudy was talking about this earlier when she spoke to us. It shows things that are hidden. And that's really handy if you've lost something in the awning. It's very easy to lose things when you're camping because you don't have things in their normal places. I am forever losing things when I'm camping. So that can be really hidden, really handy to show things that are hidden. But it can also make us feel a bit uncomfortable, can't it? And you may be thinking, my past life is not good enough for me to tell anyone that I have become a Christian. Two things. Firstly, if you have repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus to forgive you, you are forgiven in the eyes and in the sight of God. Paul argues this in Romans 4 and 5. I was reading this earlier today. He talks about Abraham, and he said, Abraham was, this is Romans 4:21, fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And then verse 23, the words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We are justified because of our belief. In the same way that Abraham trusted God and it was credited to him as righteousness, when we believe in Jesus, it is credited to us as righteousness. Paul argues here and throughout other strains in Scripture. We read in 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by God. Verse 5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Who has been given to us. And then 5 verse 9, we have now been justified by his blood. 5 verse 10, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. 5 verse 11, we will be saved through his life. Justified. It is not about justifying yourself. It is about how God has justified you in Jesus. You will never justify yourself before a holy God. But the incredible message of the gospel is that you have been justified. It is just as if you had never sinned because of what Jesus has done, the death that he died and the life that he was raised to. And you were raised with him in him when he was raised from death. So be at peace. Your light, that light that comes from Jesus, transforming you, will shine to the glory of God. And it will shine as you say, this is who I was. This is how God changed me. This is how I met God. And this is who he is changing me into. This is who I am becoming in him. That is my story. That is your story. That is the story of the gospel. So tell your testimony. Shine your light. Shine your light. And then the light reveals, we're told. Jesus says here, be careful how you listen. We think, well, hang on a minute, this isn't about eyes. Isn't this about eyes and looking, if it's light? But actually, Jesus here is making a link with the previous passage. As you read your Bible, be aware of what was in the previous passage. It's often linked. And what Jesus says is in the previous passage is that you need to be seeing and hearing and listening. Hearing's different to listening, isn't it? We can hear something, but not necessarily listen to it. And as Ryan said last week, if you missed Ryan's sermon, by the way, go and listen to that. It's on YouTube. You can catch up with the whole series if you go to the sermon series page and go for the ones that you've missed. But Ryan spoke last week, and he quoted this verse, which Jesus quotes here from Isaiah. Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. And Jesus says here, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. And Jesus is referring back to the parable of the sower, where, you remember, that the seed was taken away as a result of the soil not receiving it. Do you remember that? But, Jesus says, for those who do listen, for those who come to God in repentance and faith, in humility and in deference, responding to God, what they have, they will be given more. They will see more. And it's about how our hearts, our soil, reflects who we are. So as what is concealed is brought into the open, it reveals the response of our heart as we are good soil. That's the link. That link. So those who respond are those for whom the light has drawn them to God, and the light has shown the good of what is in their lives. And our action here is, of course, that we need to change our hearts and prepare them for the good seed that God wants to plow into our lives. We can change. Deploy the light into your life. Let it transform you. Let it transform your character. I need to let it transform my character too. If we are easily angered, we need to change. If we're greedy, we need to change. If we're selfish, we need to change. You can change. I can change. That's what God does. And then Jesus underlines that with this next passage, which again appears to be unrelated initially. It starts, your mothers and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And then Jesus replies, my brother and my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. And Jesus is once again affirming this parable of the sower and the parable of the lights in the camping box. We need to hear the word, we need to receive the word, and we need to put it into practice. I've been reading this book by Francis Collins. If we can have our next slide, please. There's a picture of a book that hopefully we'll get to. Yes. Which is written by the guy who headed up the Human Genome Project. His name's Francis Collins, and he's a Christian. Amazing to think that there's Christians in all areas across science and technology, isn't it? He was also an astrophysicist. Having done a bit of astrophysics, I wasn't too bad on those chapters. I gave up biology in third year of GCSE, so I was stuffed, absolutely scrambling around and trying to find out what all of these things meant, these amino acids and proteins and things. Had no idea at all. But the good news that I've got for you is that you do not need to understand DNA to become a Christian. And whilst that is a brilliant book, and I commend it to you, Jesus says here, my mother and brothers, those who share my DNA, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Do you know, it's about nurture and not about nature when it comes to your spiritual DNA. You heard the debate about nature and nurture? When it comes to your spiritual DNA, it is about nurture and not about nature. Discipleship, the ability to follow Jesus, is not determined by your human DNA. It is the gift of God. And also, it's about discipleship. There is a discipleship DNA that Jesus is bringing our attention to here. Because, you know, when you look at someone, you can just tell, you say, yeah, that's your mum. Or, you know, they're stood next to the dad and you think, yeah, you smile just like your dad. You know, have you ever done that? And it's the same with us and Jesus. We need to assimilate the spiritual DNA of Jesus in order to be his disciples. And as we do that, we start to resemble Jesus. We start to look like Jesus. We start to act like Jesus. Our mannerisms begin to be like those of Jesus. We smile like Jesus. We react like Jesus in situations. We exhibit that family likeness. And that's what we want. That's what discipleship is about. Becoming like Jesus. So today, finally, love Jesus. Love Jesus. He first loved you, gave his life for you, that you could be justified, that as you share your story, and Ben's going to share his story in a little while, but as you share your story to others, the light of God will shine through. Trust Jesus. Allow him to transform you. The journey of discipleship and assimilating the DNA of Jesus is a lifelong journey. And follow Jesus. We need to place ourselves, we need to take courage to follow Jesus, share our story, and do the things that he calls us to do. Those acts that the Bible says elsewhere show the love of God to the world as we are continually transformed into Jesus to the glory of God and to the glory of God alone, that his kingdom might come, that his will might be done on earth and in heaven. Amen.